Oh my gosh, God is good. We're going to have a good time of fellowship. Please plan to join us down in the gym when we are through here and Avery, what's happening today? What's going to happen this afternoon? I know. All right. Well, Brother Bob's making sure the water is hot, okay? He's making sure it's warm, so we're good to go on that. No more freezing in that water. And he got us a tankless hot water heater, so it's going to be good and warm. Anybody else want to get rebaptized today or are baptized for the first time? You're welcome to do that, and then we'll partake of the food. And then here at the end of the service, I think we've got some baskets for the kiddos, some little bags, and then we're going to receive and do communion together, so that's going to be good. Amen. All right, let's just get right into the Word here. Won't be a long time, but let's see what the Lord has for us. This is from Luke, Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24 and verse 6. He is not here, but is risen. He is not here, but He is risen. And that's the title of my message here on Easter Sunday morning. He is not here, but risen. He is risen. Today is that time of the year, Brandon's already said it, where Christians come from all over the world. They remember the most important event that's ever happened, and that being the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And like Brandon said, I don't wait for Easter. I'm sure most of you don't, to come and just to celebrate what the Lord did. How many know we get up every morning and we can thank Him for what was accomplished on Calvary? Amen. For saving me, for healing me, and yes, for loving me. And I'm thankful that He loved me just the way I was, but loved me enough to not let me stay the way I was. Amen. I'm thankful that His mercies to me are new and fresh every morning. And I acknowledge that I am nothing without Him and can do nothing without Him. But the Bible says all things are possible with Him. I'm thankful I don't have to have someone else talk to Him for me, but I can call Him up 24/7 direct. And guess what? He promises to answer us. There's not going to be a busy signal. And I won't be put on hold. And we have this promise from Jeremiah 33 and 3 that says, call me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't even know about. You know, the more that I think about Jesus, the more I realize what an extraordinary life He led while here on this earth. He spoke words that were wiser than anybody had ever spoken. He performed miracles that were greater than anyone had ever performed. He cast out demons, and the demons recognized His authority. He could create matter out of nothing, and He had the power over all of nature. He caused the winds to cease and the waves to be still. And He raised people from the dead. And what is so amazing is that He was so young when He did all of this, then dying on the cross at only 33 years of age. There has never been anybody else like Him. And so let's take a moment this morning and a few moments, and I want us to look back at what the Scriptures say concerning the events leading up to His crucifixion. And Brother North and Sister North has already sung my message, part of it anyway. The night before He was crucified, Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Matthew 26:39 records it for us. Matthew tells us that He fell with His face to the ground and He prayed. He said, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as You will." Well, what was He asking? He saw that all of the filth of humanity was going to be heaped upon Him. all the cruelty, all the meanness, all the dictators, and all of the slaughter of the innocent. He was about to bear it all, and it would be more than any human being could ever endure. And to think this did not include the physical torment that he would receive. The Roman soldiers, we read where they beat him, nearly taking his life. They struck him in the face and they pushed a crown of thorns onto his head until the blood ran down his cheeks. He was beat so much that he did not even look like a human being. And it was just as Isaiah had prophesied. We find it recorded in the scripture, Isaiah 52:14. It says, "His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness." This was our Savior. And in Gethsemane, he was crying out, "Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, if it is your will that I drink it, I will do it, and I will do whatever you want." We need to see that there was definitely a victory that was won even at the Garden of Gethsemane that night. He surrendered his will to the Father. Matthew again records what he told his disciples there that night. Matthew 26:53. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that I cannot call on my Father and He will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" Now that happens to be approximately 72,000 angels, if not a little more. Those angels could have wiped out the whole Roman Empire. Jesus knew He didn't have to die for us. He could have said no. But He also saw then generations on beyond the cross where that there would be millions of people from all over the world then who would come to the foot of the cross. So He said, "Father, not my will, but yours." Jesus had prepared His disciples then concerning the events that were about to take place. Mark 10:33-34 records how He tells them while on their way to Jerusalem. Here's what He said. He said, "The Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law, and they will condemn Him to death and will hand Him over to the Gentiles, who will mock Him and spit on Him and whip Him and kill Him. And the third day He will rise again." And then after what is known as the Last Supper, Jesus even tells them where they will meet again after the resurrection. Matthew 26:31, it says, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Hear me this morning. That is what Easter is all about. Jesus did not stay in the tomb. He paid the price for all of our sins, and then He rose again so that you and I can have victory today in our lives. Remember what He said. He said, "Not my will, but your will be done." Let's realize today that God's will is always good. Did you know that?
Yes.
Romans 12:2 tells it that it is His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And we have the opportunity then to freely submit ourselves to His will. And we will find then that when we do His will in His way, not our way, in His way, we will share in the ultimate triumph that Jesus won for us. We can walk through every struggle, and we can walk through every situation and every circumstance that seems to rise up out of nowhere and come out victorious on the other side. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, when you accept what He did for you at Calvary, through His death, through His burial, and through His resurrection, and you surrender your will, and you make Him then Lord and Savior over your life, and you ask Him to come in and have residence. Listen, here is what happens. Your whole outlook on life changes. You're no longer of the mindset that, oh well, I'm living now and then I'm going to die and I'm going to be buried in the ground and that's all there is going to be to life. No, understand, you're now in the family of God, and as one of God's children, you have been raised now from mortal death to a new life, to a blessed life that is now dedicated to God. And in just a moment, we're going to give you that opportunity. Listen, your pursuits in life change. You really do change kingdoms. From the kingdom of the world to the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God that you are now a part of is all about life. It's about having faith and hope and joy and love, whereas before, guess what? There was none of those things. Those contrary winds, listen, will still blow, and the storm clouds will still form, but you know, you now have the strength to endure. Amen. There's going to be flat tires along the way. Somebody's going to cut you off along the way. And to be able, you're going to be able to see light even through the darkest of times and come out victorious on the other side. And one of the many promises that we have from God's Word recorded in Isaiah 43 and 2, here's what it says. When you pass through the waters, God promises to be there with you. And even through the rivers, you won't drown. In other words, from the smallest of life circumstances to the biggest that could seemingly wipe you out, He promises to be there to see that it doesn't happen. And it goes on then to say where you go, when you go through the fire, you won't be burned and the flames won't consume you. What awesome promises then we have available to us. How is that possible to have such hope? How is it so possible to have such joy and such peace in the very middle of a storm? And such love then to be able to forgive even your enemy? How is such a thing possible? It's all possible because of what Jesus did for us, beginning at the Garden of Gethsemane and on to Calvary. It's possible because of the work that was accomplished through His death, His burial, His resurrection, and even His ascension back up to heaven. The words to this old hymn describes it pretty well. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living just because He lives. Can I just tell you, don't wait for another Easter to remember what He did for you. Get up every day thanking Him for a new day and a new life and the strength then to face another day, expecting something good to come about, and watch then what He will do for you. Brother Galen, would you come on up here? And in just a few moments, we're going to remember what Jesus did for us at Calvary by partaking in communion together. But before I do, I want to ask this question. If you have not done so with your life, why not trust Jesus with your future? To truly trust Him, listen, is to surrender your will and make Him Lord and Savior over your life. And ask Him then to come into your heart to live. And again, what happens is your whole outlook on life changes. The Bible says that we have all sinned and we have fallen short. And so what we do is we ask Him then to forgive us of our sins. And guess what? That's called repentance. And that really is just a fancy theological word that simply means to change your mind and change your direction that you've been going. Changing your mind about the life that you've been living. Changing your mind about the choices that you've made. And now you're turning to follow Jesus. And if you've never repented before, listen, we can pray with you and show you how to do such a thing. And when you sincerely repent, listen, God promises to listen and forgives you, and He washes all of the guilt and the stain of every sin away from your life. Your past is cleansed. Your future is cleared. And you begin to walk, watch this, in a newness of life. And that newness of life is God's own Spirit coming to dwell within you, bringing power then to demonstrate the change of life that Jesus brings. You don't have to continue living the same old way. So again, let me ask, would you make a new and right choice this morning? I invite you today to choose Jesus. Maybe you've grown cold and just pulled away, but know today you can come back to Him. So I want to give you that invitation. Would you say yes to Jesus? Would you make your way down here? Be bold enough, say, yep, I'm ready to make the Lord my Savior. Maybe to renew your heart. Give it back to God. We'll stand here beside you. We're not going to leave you alone. We'll stand right here beside you if you come. The invitation is open. We're right here. Is there anybody? He's calling today. He's ready to do for you. Father, I thank You. I praise You. You were so good to us. We can never thank You enough for all that You've done. Lord, we thank You again today, and we acknowledge what You did for us at Calvary. And so, Lord, we just praise You. Just continue to lead us, direct our steps. And we thank You today for Your mercies, for Your love to us. And we praise You in Your great name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I am asking for our guys to come here, and we're going to prepare for our communion together. Hallelujah.